everybody, and welcome to episode 40 of season 9 of Move Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the worst Die Hard movie of the entire franchise. A good day to Die Hard, a good day not to watch this movie, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again to endure all the pain and fun of finding all the craziness in this movie is Heather Baxendale of Word of Hellmouth. Welcome back to the show, Heather.
Thank you for having me back on. This is the lesser of all the Die Hard movies, but I'm still having fun with it.
I'm sure you are. Well, because we're making it fun. That's what it comes
exactly.
Watching this movie is not necessarily fun, but dissecting this movie is a lot more fun. So episode 40 begins with John and Jack continuing their road trip, their father-son road trip, and ends with Jack and John actually having a moment. So, you know, we're getting some more bonding over the course of this movie. You know, something I know that Heather likes to watch movies with male bonding, you know, between father and son in the middle of firefights. Yeah, so it works.
I mean, when is a better time to bond, honestly? Firefights are the reason for it.
True.
It's like, if you're, nobody needs to go fishing anymore. Go to another country where there's war and all sorts of chaos. Sure, do that then. That's how you solve your problems with your child.
Sure.
I mean, if you're John McClane, that actually makes sense, though.
No, but the truth is John went there to go try and help him out.
Yeah. Right? Yeah,
because he thought that that his son was in trouble.
I think too, like probably one of the more realistic aspects of John McClane, because he's a real man, but he's also a superhero.
Well, we saw it in Die Hard 4 also. He went to go help Lucy. You know, he was watching Lucy because he was concerned about her.
Yeah, but he has these complicated relationships with the people that he cares about. And someone who lives the kind of life he does, even if you love him and he's a good dad, he's married to his duty and his job and his chaos and violence. That comes first. It doesn't mean he doesn't care about his kids. It doesn't mean he didn't care about his wife. But when you're the children or you're the partner, you want to be number one on the list. So all of the issues that he has with his family throughout the series is the one thing that I think is actually pretty realistic. As realistic as we can be in this world anyway.
Yeah, it's true. And but that's what happens with John McClane.
Yep. If he's not having some kind of familial conflict, then is it really a Die Hard movie?
That's true also. Now, I remember back in 1989, okay, I at that point I used to read People magazine, and I remember that People magazine had a blurb, that they were going to be making a sequel to Die Hard, and it's going to take place, at their child Lucy's birthday party, and that John is going to have to go there and save the kids. And I was like, wow, that's a really cool idea, and then obviously Die Hard 2 came out, and that was a better idea. And then Die Hard 3 came out, and that was an even better idea. And then Die Hard 4 came out, and I'm like, I can't believe they didn't do that. He was saving her at a party.
It should have been. You're right. I had no idea. I would have liked the children to be saved. That would have been great. Although I think they were on the right track with 2 and definitely with 3.
Yes. Well, again, I agreed with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Still, fun idea. But, all ideas are might be fun, but not necessarily good.
True. True. Again, it's a question of having to get the right writers to do it. You know, I mean, this movie, from what I remember in my research, this movie, Bruce Willis wanted it to be a father-son bonding thing. Which again I find a little ironic since he doesn't have any sons. The closest thing he has to a son is Ashton Kutcher.
True.
Who's his ex-wife's was his ex-wife. I think they're divorced, right? His ex-wife.
Oh yeah, I think he's been married to Mila
That's
I
right.
think he's been married to Mila Kunis for a long time.
That's right. He went back to the 70s show.
Yeah. I could be wrong about that too. I do not keep up
No,
on my
I do.
celebrity dating
I
stuff.
definitely do not, but I think you're right about that one. But he only had daughters, so it's funny that he wants to have this die-hard movie with a father-son bonding.
It's
Maybe
kind of cute. Maybe that's why he did. Maybe that's why he did.
right. Could be.
Yeah, he wanted to live vicariously through McClane and see what that experience was like. I'm sure it wasn't. It's certainly not what a real life experience would be. But you know, all the undertones, yeah. And then being estranged and the reasons for it. Yeah, I get it. Like the car scene was nice, the two of them bonding over moments that they've been through before. But let's be honest, it would take years and years of therapy for them to really work crap out.
And I love the fact that it's raining, but then they get to Chernobyl and there's no longer rain. Again, it is an 11-hour
Yeah.
drive. We know that, but you'd think the weather would follow them. They are traveling east.
Well, that's what happens in movies anyway. Besides, what movie doesn't use a rain scene at the end for the climax and big moments? There
That's true.
must be rain.
That's true. A
Mm-hmm.
very good point. John just looks out the window, and then, hey, surprisingly, they're. The camera takes us to Chernobyl, and it gives us a nice overhead shot of Chernobyl as the camera starts to slowly zoom in, and they show us the offices inside. We see a picture of Gorbachev. We see flashlights showing us all the different crates that have been left there and stuff like that.
So,
And
I've
All the
watched a
paper,
lot
once
of.
again, they one last thing, and they also have all like the paper is like strewn all over the desk, showing that people ran away that quickly that they just threw other papers all over the place and said, "I'm getting out of here. I'm out of here."
I played a lot of Call of Duty games back in the day. One of them. You get to go through Chernobyl in the game, and it's actually a lot of fun. But I feel like their interpretation of what Chernobyl looked like was more realistic than this. And having watched so many things on it over the years, because it's a curiosity we all have, and or some of us have. I kind of develop a preconceived notion about what things should look like, and everything feels, it almost feels too shiny. Here to me, I'm like, this is not Chernobyl. This is just a building that people left, and it's pretty. And you made the papers fall all over the place to look like it was haphazard. But it just, yeah, it just doesn't feel, it doesn't feel like I don't have that feel at all from it. And it takes me out of the moment. And then I don't believe that's where they are, and they're on a movie set. So it ruins all of this for me.
Yeah, and that makes sense. But again, that's why this is the most poorly made Die Hard movie. What can
Yeah,
I say?
there's just no, I mean, and I'm fine with doing your own thing and having your own perspective, but it feels lazy, like the picture of Gorbachev, like that's going to help us know that this is they're in Russia. We know they're in Russia. We saw the trunks and the bodies. We've seen the AKs. We've seen all of the Russian stereotypical stuff throughout this whole entire movie. And I personally enjoy the Russians being the bad guys always. I prefer the Russians over Germans always, if you're gonna go with one of the two big stereotypes. But yeah, I just don't feel Chernobyl in this. It doesn't feel like they're in this ghost town. It doesn't have that eerie sense of doom and death. It just feels like a random location that they chose for a villain's lair or something of that nature, you know?
No, but they also want to give us a reason why no one found this stuff beforehand, because it's a place no one wants to go.
Yeah. The
It's
location
haunted.
makes
It's
sense.
haunted.
Just the visual representation of it is lame.
That's true. And so they pan around the room again, not telling us that much, except that it's just really dark. That's it. That someone didn't pay their electric bill. And then we see that the four people that are there are all in I guess some sort of hazmat suits. And they look around, they realize that they need to go down this particular corridor, and then basically the Irena says, "Is this how you remember it, Papa?" He goes, "I don't want to remember." Tough. And then he gets hit in the back with a flashlight, and he goes, the file is in the inner vault. It was very touching. Let's move. And they start moving along. Now, again, knowing what happens in this movie makes this even more comical, the way that they did this particular scene. You know, I don't want to give away too many spoilers because, you know, I'm not sure if everyone who's watched this movie has made it this far.
Probably not.
Maybe they fell asleep. I don't know. But, you know, they spend a lot of time focusing on Yuri as he's walking, you know, in this hazmat suit. You know, again, and every so often he coughs. You know, so, yeah. You know, is he sick? Is he pretending to be sick? I don't know.
This whole scene feels like, and it's kind of what I was, you know, pointing out with my sense of Chernobyl, is it just feels really, really static. Just like it's here to be here. Okay, we're doing, there's nothing behind it. Yes, right. We're filming the shot. Okay, we've done the shot. Can you cough to sound sick or just cough because you're sick? We don't care. We're Chia Peps here. Right. So, and we'll leave it in. I you know, there's nothing behind it. It's all feels very, very surface level. And it feels like you're like burning time.
Yes.
Like this scene feels like they're burning time. At least like the scene before this, the conversation between John and Jack, it goes on. Like, we didn't need the Boca Raton part. We really didn't.
Well, we did, because then we wouldn't be able to laugh about it if it wasn't there.
We could have done without the laugh. We so could have. But it's fine that it's there, because at least it served a purpose and intention. There's nothing at this point where I feel like serves any purpose intention. It's just, if it was written without visual aspect to it, it would just be, they walked in the door.
Yeah.
They looked at each other. Line, whatever the dialogue is. Moved on. Next scene. It's like the bones draft is what it feels like, and nobody added anything to it, including the actors' performances.
Right.
They're not stoic. They're just not developed.
Nope. Not at all. Not at all. And then Alex screams at him, and he goes, "Which one is it?" And then they push Yuri, and they go, "Get moving, old goat." Which again is a strange way to do that. I don't know. And then the shot changes, and we're back outside, and then they show us again all of the destruction in the outside. You know, we see stuff just all over the place. We see teddy bears. Did you notice that? There's like a cup of coffee and what looks like an alarm clock and like two teddy bears that are just sitting on the side there and stuff like that. You know, again, trying to show the gloom and doom of Chernobyl, that everyone died here, you know, or everyone just had to run at the last minute, and even a little girl had to leave her teddy bear behind. You know, because
they were in such a rush. Yeah, because and they were. They were. It was. This yeah. is a total. This is an app. This is an opportunity to capitalize on a creepy story that's true. It actually exists too. I think that's the other part of it that kind of itches at me a little bit. This is a real opportunity for them to develop this into something really, really cool. And they just were like, "Why bother?"
Right. And then they, you know, they stop the car, and then John looks out and he goes, "Hey, a couple of fresh coats of paint and a weed whacker, and it's good to go."
See, that's what we needed right then. We needed a John McClane joke. I don't mind the aging John jokes either. I think that they're appropriate.
Yeah, they're definitely appropriate, because again, they make things a little more interesting to watch.
You get the levity, bearable. You get the comedy. Yes, it's more bearable. It's true though. You need that in movies anyway when you have intense action. That's why so many action movies have such like great comic moments in them. They would not be as enjoyable, and most of them would not be as digestible for repetitive viewings too if you didn't have that comic breathing, that comic relief. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. And then Jack looks through the binoculars trying to figure out what's going on, and he starts talking. He goes, "You know, at first they denied anything ever happened. Held a children's parade the next day to prove it." I guess that's where the teddy bear came from. 24 hours later, 50,000 residents were evacuated. Never came back. As soon as they get and you know, and then he goes, "As soon as they get into that vault, Kamarov's a dead man." So it's fun to see that, you know, Jack is so taken in by everything here and really believes the whole story, which makes us
Yeah.
believe it even more
Well, and
also.
he should. It's been like, what, 3 years that he's been invested in this case, too? It's been his life. He's already taken rebar.
Yeah, but on the other hand, he spent 3 years on this, and you know, as we're going to find out over the next week,
Yeah.
he got so much of
Yeah.
it wrong. You know, so that's the question. You know, how if you're so deep into it, you know, how can you get taken by surprise with this? You shouldn't be taken by
He
surprise,
is.
but he still is.
He is.
You know, so that's the thing. And then John goes, "All right, you got a plan?" And he goes, "Not really." Which is a great response. And he goes, "I kind of thought we'd just wing it. You know, run in, guns blazing. We can it up as we go." Which sounds like what the writers did here also. And it's a typical McLean type of line anyway. And then he goes, "Yeah."
Well, I mean, improvisation is a huge part of being a McClane. It's usually ending up in situations that you didn't intend on being in and having to rise to the occasion. That is a big part of being a McClane. And apparently he's embraced that side of himself, our good old Jack here. But it is much nicer at this point too with them getting along because the banter between them is enjoyable.
That's right. And then we see that Yuri finally finds the appropriate vault, which is vault number 475, which I have no idea if there's any real significance to the number or not. I couldn't figure that one out. And then he like taps on it, which is very strange
Yeah.
also. And then the shot goes back to John and Jack as they're getting ready to finally go in. And you know, they just open up the trunk and are having a ball. You know, they're taking everything out of there. You know, they're taking out the bulletproof vests, they're taking ammo belts, they're taking grenades. They got anything that you can think of that these Chechens are just
It,
driving around with in the trunk of their car.
I guess
Because
so. It gave me
that's what
very
you
much
do.
so like Terminator 2, the bunker in Mexico with all the weapons vibes. I was like, oh, here's a small ode to this. The excitement on both their parts to be able to choose between all of these great things, especially John, who's usually scrambling to find weapons. In his scenarios, in this case, at least they're
Exactly.
locked and loaded. So yeah, there's an element of fun with that too. I appreciate that scene. I always do when you pull out all the big bang bangs though. I like it.
That's right. And then John pulls out like a really old gun and goes, "What is this, a pirate gun?" And Jack goes, "Yeah, it's old school, man, like you, right? Yeah, just like me."
And they're both pretty beaten up still. I love that they just still have all the blood all over their faces and bodies. We haven't cleaned them up at all. We don't
Yes.
want to clean them up, get more dirty.
Well, they didn't have a very long drive from Chernobyl. It only took them 12 hours. I mean, you don't have enough time to quickly take a quick
No, why would they wouldn't
a
stop
quick
and get
shower along
gas.
the
They don't
way or
have
something.
to. It's super close. It's super close. They wouldn't have to get gas. They
That's
wouldn't
true.
have anybody coming after them for stealing the vehicles. Nothing. No problems. No problems at all. They just show up and look real tough, which they do. They do look real tough. I'll give them that. Neither of them have to try really hard, though. And they actually, to me too, they actually physically pass for father and son.
Yeah, you can believe it. Much
Yes,
more than John
absolutely.
and Lucy.
And
Because Lucy doesn't look like
when it
John
comes
or Holly.
to children or siblings in movies too, I can accept when they clearly are not siblings if it's the best person for the role. I forget about it 5 minutes later. But if the movie's lacking, I mean, it's helpful if you can have some kind of likeness to each other. It certainly helps. And they have chemistry too,
Okay,
so I
of
buy
course.
it.
And their bonding continues when John says, "One of these days, I'm gonna have a long talk with you." But is he gonna have the birds
I
and the bees
think
talk? Is that the talk he
they've
needs to have
passed
with him?
that. I'm just guessing that he's probably, yeah, like
Yes. No, but my point is the way that
yeah,
he says it. We have
he
to have a
says it like
talk.
that. You're right, though.
It's like what other thing could he talk about? Is he saying we should talk about guns? We should talk. I mean, he knows that his son is a spy, so maybe he's saying we should talk so that you can actually let me in on what's going on in your life. Is this an invitation to reignite
I
some sort
thought
of
that.
connection
That's what
between
I
them?
thought it was. I thought he was
That.
doing it in his typical, kind of offhanded way because, he's not necessarily real emotionally mature when it comes to those things, but he has good intentions. So, yeah, I thought it was a let's kind of talk things out and see if we can work out our problems and that kind of thing. I thought it was definitely an olive branch, but it could have been something else. It's John too. It could have been something like let's talk about our favorite guns. Like let's have a long serious talk about our favorite guns. Or yeah, tell me
Could
more
be.
about your job. It could be plenty of other things, but I think it was a moment for them to go, "Hey, if we make it through this, we should probably like work some of our stuff out."
That's right. Meaning let's
Yeah,
quote unquote
yeah.
bury the hatchet and move forward. That's what we need to do. Yeah, they definitely have enough weapons to go. No
Yeah,
question
it's
about
fun. It's
that.
fun. I'm good.
And then John turns to him and goes, "Look, Jack, I'm sorry your partner got killed." Which is nice, that he says that, even though, we
Yeah.
only met his partner for like 30 seconds. He goes, "I'm sorry I f***ed up your day. That wasn't my plan. I caused your problems. I came here for something else. And all the other b***, I mean, I had a pretty good day." He goes, "It's fun running around with you. It's good to see you."
It's so oddly abrupt. Yeah.
And it's also very, it's a little cheesy. In some ways it feels a little forced.
Because it
That
is.
that's the problem here. It's a good conversation. It's a good conversation, but the placing of the conversation in the story, like this is the type of conversation they should have had during a
Exactly.
12-hour drive. Not as they're putting
It would have
together,
been a great
their
moment, would have
weapons and
been.
stuff like that.
I know that the Boca Raton part was important, but we could have removed the Boca Raton part and we could have inserted this part of the conversation there because at that point they had bonded and they were channeling good vibes towards each other. It would have been a great time to sit there and insert, "Hey, I'm going to have this little serious moment with you here." Also, forced proximity. We're stuck in the car, so there's nowhere for you to go and run from this conversation. Perfect time. It's a little on the nose to do it right before the
That's right.
gunfight. And it also feels a little bit like we're just going to get all of this done. We need to talk. Also, sorry about this. And also, this is fun. It's like a lot all at once, just throwing it and seeing whatever sticks at the wall. There's no, so you, yeah, it feels
That's right.
forced because it is forced. It's not, it, they didn't earn that being there. They didn't earn it. They didn't. Even if we wanted them to.
Nope, not at all. Right. And then at the end, John goes, "I love you, boy." Which also just doesn't really
No,
fit
no,
in.
neither of them are that.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing too. Like, if you're gonna have an emotional moment between two stoic men like this, you really have to earn it. You really have to earn that. I love you. You really have to earn those moments. And it just isn't. It isn't. It's so frustrating.
That's right. What annoys me, and this is a little bit of a spoiler for tomorrow, that he doesn't respond, "I love you too, Dad." That would have been the appropriate response, saying, "Okay, they've really mended this chasm that they had between them." That type of thing.
I agree with you. Or the other option would be if he still was like lingering with the, I'm not fully ready to accept this. So it would have raised the stakes during all of the fighting at the end to think what if he died and he didn't get to tell him he loved him too. But there isn't that sense of feeling. John knows that he loves him at this point. He's not saying it. It's just, there's no thought put into it. There's none. It's just there. Yeah. None. It's just there on the paper and they're just reading the lines, doing them
Correct.
well enough. But that's what's happening.
Okay, and thankfully that ends the 5 minute segment here, of the Dr. Phil hour with John and Jack.
Really is.
Did you have anything else you wanted to add to this segment?
No, this is my least favorite out of the three segments that we had, though.
Okay, we still had a lot to talk about. It wasn't that we didn't.
Yes. Yes. Oh,
Okay.
we always have stuff to talk about. Even when they're not great, we still have a lot to talk about.
True.
And that's one thing that I love and enjoy too, is when they're, it doesn't mean I necessarily think the whole entire film is bad or whatever, but there are times where I'm like, it's reading a
I
book,
do.
watching a show, watching a movie. I know you do. I prefer to talk about the ones that I'm excited about and why I enjoy them, but it's important to acknowledge things that don't work and why they don't work too. Then we don't repeat those cinema sins. And this movie has a bunch of cinema sins in it.
Oh,
A
yeah,
lot
for
of
sure.
them, a lot of them exist specifically because the franchise is attached to.
Yes. No question about that. Okay, speaking of franchise, today's segment is Franchise Fever, where my guest will give their top five movie franchises which have at least four entries in them.
Yeah, this was cruel. Cruel. Yeah, that's it. So I probably in real life would change this like 500 times, except for my first top two. So I'm just going to go through them. All right, my number five is Lethal Weapon series.
You and your lethal weapons.
I love Lethal Weapon so much. I love it. And the fourth movie is not particularly great. I can accept that, but I love the first three.
I gotta tell you
Now.
what, I like four better than three. And one of the things that I love about four is the end. The
Is it
fact
big?
that the credit scene where they actually show all of the crew, the cast and crew. While they're singing, "Why Can't We Be Friends?" That is one of my all-time. I've said this before in the past. That's one of my all-time favorite movie endings. And the
It's still a
credits.
fun movie, but I think it suffers like what we've talked about too, where it doesn't feel as much like the first three in the franchise. It feels like a
Right.
disconnect from that. And part of that is because it's a little further afterwards too, and they made it age appropriate, which I appreciate, but it is the lesser of the series, but I still like it and I'll still watch it. Yep, it's fun. My number four is Toy Story. Toy Story is so good. It's so good. That's all I have to say. And if you want to cry, just watch it. Three, I'm coming in with a surprise, but I just think it's because the whole series is so solid and it has no business being as good as it is. And that's Scream. Scream is good. It's still good. I can't believe they're still making fun Scream movies, and I'm happy about it. Number two, there are bad ones in here, but I don't care. Star Wars Forever. Star Wars Forever. And number one, take a guess, Rob. What is my number one franchise of all time?
I'm gonna I'm I, it's between two. I'm thinking it's either gonna be Aliens or Terminator.
Oh, you're wrong.
I'm wrong
Both
on
of
both
them.
of them. Wow.
It should be
Okay,
because both of those,
I know it's not Jurassic Park.
nope.
J
It's Lord of the Rings. It's Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
But I will tell you why
Well, you
aliens,
see,
even though
one second, but you're not even saying that it's not Lord of the Rings, it's the entire Middle Earth. Because
yeah,
Lord of the
Middle
Rings is
Earth.
only three.
It's
That's
only
why I
three.
thought.
Actually, I always say it only counts as one. But as a franchise, yes, there's more. And I still think even with some of the less delightful ones, it's the best. But
Have you
that's
seen
where I came.
the have you seen the what's it called? Ring of Power?
Rings of Power? Yeah,
The TV
yeah.
show? I
It's
haven't
not
watched that yet.
bad.
I've been meaning to
It's
watch it and I haven't had the urge to try to, check it out.
You have to disconnect from your attachment to the Peter Jackson movies, I think, a little bit, but you have beautiful music from Howard Shore, and Bear McCreary does all of the actual music within the show. But it's good. It's not perfect. It's not perfect by any means, but I enjoyed it, and I'm glad that they kind of moved. I would have liked to them moved even further away from what everybody's used to, but that familiarity helps people, and they went off book and made their own things up. But that's what happens when you do shows.
Yes.
So I don't know, but it's worth your time. It's worth your time for sure.
Okay. I gotta watch Andor first. That's higher
Andor
on the list.
first. Andor is superior TV in general. It is
Oh, I know that.
so,
I know. But
yeah,
I wanna
it's so
watch
good.
both seasons, so back to back.
Yes.
Just to
Yes.
refresh my memory of the whole thing. Okay.
So
All right.
good.
Yes, that's what I've heard. So now we will go to the daily segment of State Your Motto. Okay. Now you have actually you're not gonna be able to guess what state I'm using this time. So the state I've chosen for you this time is Arkansas.
Oh dear.
Okay. So
I have preconceived notions.
the three choices are the people rule, strong deeds, gentle words, or he who transplants sustains.
He who transplants.
Nope. Sorry. That's a different
Okay.
state. The answer
Okay.
is the people rule.
Okay.
Again,
I
that fits Bill Clinton, doesn't
Yeah. I have no interest in ever visiting that particular state at all. But good luck, people of Arkansas, in your state.
That's
Enjoy it over there, down there, away from here. Some of the
right.
models are really weird, aren't they?
Yes, they really are. All right, so Heather, would you like to once again tell people where they can find Heather Baxendale?
Yes, you can find me at my website, heatherbaxendale.com. My books are all there. You should check them out. If you like action adventure stories, I write them. You can also find my podcast on there, Word of Hellmouth and A Pot of Wings and Filth. And you can find all of my socials there if you'd like to follow me.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@movierob.net. So, Heather, do you feel like coming back for one more episode of 5 minutes of this movie tomorrow?
Yes, I'm ready for it.
All right. Bring your chia pep with you, and we'll see how that goes. All right, so until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay!
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Oh, they're red, white, and blue. But it ain't me, it ain't me, I ain't no fortunate one.